जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जन भव गिरवर धारि, गोपी जन भव गिरवर धारि, शुदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना चीरा सुंदना चाहरी, यमुना चिरा नचाही, जय राधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन भव गिरवर धारि, गोपी जन भव गिरवर धारि, शुदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, नीरावन चाहरी, जमुना चिरावन चाहरी, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामो हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki, Shishi Gaura Nitai Ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Gaur Premanandi, Jai Shishi Guru Gram, Jai Shishi Guru Gram, Jai Shishi Guru Gram. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So for the pleasure of Shishi Kishore Kishore Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Shishi Gaura Nitai, for the pleasure of His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled devotees, today we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 28. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 40. Savyapakatayatmanam Vyatiriktaya Tatmani Vidvansvapna Ivamarsha Sakshinam Viraramaha Savyapakatayatmanam Vyatiriktata Yatmani Vidvansvapna Ivamarsha Sakshinam Viraramaha. Thank you. Saha Kingmalaya Dvaja Vyapakartaya by all pervasiveness. Atmanam, the super soul. Vyatiriktataya by differentiation. Atmani, in his own self. Vidvan, perfectly educated. Svapne, in a dream. Eva, like. Amarsha, of deliberation. Sakshinam, the witness. Vira Rama, became indifferent. Ha, certainly. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. King Malayadvaja attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but that the soul is the witness of the material body. Purport. The conditioned soul is often frustrated in trying to understand the distinction between the material body, the super soul, and the individual soul. There are two types of Mayavadi philosophers, the followers of the Buddhist philosopher and the followers of the Shankara philosophy. The followers of Buddha do not recognize that there is anything beyond the body, and the followers of Shankara conclude that there is no separate existence of the Paramatma or the Supersoul. So the Shankarites believe that the individual soul is identical with the Paramatma and in the ultimate analysis, but the Vaishnava philosopher, who is perfect in knowledge, knows that the body is made of the external energy and that the Supersoul, the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sitting with the individual soul and is distinct from him. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 13:3, Kshetragyam chapimam vidhi sarvakshitreshu bharata kshetrakshitragya yurgyanam yat tajgyanam matam mama. O sky of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand that this body and its owner is called knowledge. That is my opinion, Krishna says to Arjuna. The body is taken to be the field and the individual soul is taken to be a worker in that field. Yet there is another who is known as super soul, who, along with the individual soul, simply witnesses. So the individual soul works and enjoys the fruits of the body, whereas the super soul simply witnesses the activities of the individual soul, but does not enjoy the fruits of those activities. So the super soul is present in every field of activity, whereas the individual soul is present in his one localized body. So King Malayadvaja attained this perfection of knowledge and was able to distinguish between the soul, the super soul, the soul and material body. Savyapakatayatmanam vyatiriktatayatmani vidvan svapna ivamarsha sakshinam virarama ha. King Malayadvaja attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul, and the individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but that the soul is the witness of material body. By the mercy of Krishna, spiritual master, and the Sambal devotees, I've got a wonderful opportunity to read the Nectarian text, shloka, from Srimad Bhagavatam, which actually concludes all the philosophy, all the Vedic philosophy. The knower of the philosophy, or the one who is expert in transcendental knowledge, is the one who clearly, absolutely clearly distinguishes and understands the difference between the body and the soul, between the material world and the transcendental world. I remember just a couple of days ago, I had a program, Namahata. Namahata program with a Lithuanian group of people who live here already for 10, 20 years. Somehow or other, indirectly, they found me, they got in contact with me and asked to come and to speak with them. There were maybe 20 of them. They're not devotees. They're not vegetarians. They're just common people. But, say, curious. Yeah? Like we know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says four types of people come to me. Suffering, in need, curious, and for knowledge. So, in the part of the world where I come from, people come to Krishna consciousness more out of suffering. Here we see that it's not so much of suffering, of curiosity. So for 6 hours we were speaking with them, trying to explain this is the difference between body and soul, or in big term, in wide term, is material world and spiritual. For 6 hours. For first 2 hours it was hard struggle. Yes? Because some people had no concept of what is the soul. They had, you know, like a khichdi, all in one. Whatever they heard somewhere, whatever someone told, whatever they read somewhere, it was like a porridge in their head. Yeah? So in order to make an order in their mentality, you have to persistently preach, 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 installing the authority of the Vedas. Because usually for the common man, the biggest authority for him is who? Yes, mine, ego, yes, me and mine. So I told them one story then. Some devotees sent me some YouTube clip, where it is a clip from some TV program where a TV journalist with a cameraman went on streets somewhere in UK or Scotland, and they asking people, just accidental people on the street, 2 questions. Who you are? Just stopping, like you can do that experiment in Chicago, downtown, approach people and ask who you are. And they approached maybe 50 or 100 people. So what do you presume how many answers they were getting? If a person is asked on the street who you are. So they met 50 persons, they got 50 answers, different answers. So, you know, people intelligent, they have degrees, they have, you know, some simple workers, some educated. And nobody clearly could say who he is. Everyone had his own concept, opinion. My gosh, how you can live not knowing your real identity? You may think you are a man, a Brit, whatever, builder, professional. Everyone had his own opinion. And if the journalist would dig into, you know, trying to force or ask him more particular, some people got freaked out. No, what do you want from me? I never thought about this. He said, I never thought about this. Why I'm here I am. What do you want from me? Yes? Some became angry, some confused. You know, you graduate school so many years, you graduate university, and you have no concept, clear concept, standardized concept, who you are. So what, how you can expect, and every one of them expect to live happily. Everyone expect, oh, I want to be happy. If you ask them, you want happy? Oh, yes, I want to be happy. You are happy? Well, I'm trying. So it's all starts from the who you are. And the bhakta in Krishna consciousness, the very first day he comes to the temple and joins the ashram, he's getting the idea, I am the spirit soul. He's immediately, you are spirit soul, and then the rest things, yeah? But first of all, you are spirit soul. This is the main point, this is foundation. And then, Raja Vidya, Raja Guha, Pavitra Midamutamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Attaining this knowledge gives you pleasure, gives you great satisfaction. So today we read about that King Maladvaja could recognize what is what, who is he and who he is not. I am the soul, I am not the body. This is ABC in Krishna consciousness. But you ask general public, general people on the street, well, they got confused, angry. And the next question the journalist was asking, show you, point at yourself. So most probably he had read Bhagavad Gita or heard some lectures of philosophy, so he knew how to trick people. So he said, okay, who you are? Whatever, whatever, whatever. And then he said, show, point to you. So people. So he was tricking them. This is just your chest. Then he says, this is just your head. Where are you? Show to yourself. And then people just freaking out. Yeah. Here I am, here I am. And also, nobody had clear concept who he is and where he is, how he looks. So this is what is called total ignorance. And what's the value of education then? If you don't know your identity, you know your ID number, maybe you know your bank card account or number, and like that. But this is all, even not the secondary, these are far, far things which are not important in your life. So, another wonderful shloka from Gita, also Srila Prabhupada mentions, Tisham Satata Yuktanam. Bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. That the one who is devoted to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the one who worships He with love, Krishna Himself gives him understanding. So what do we want from people on the street that they would know their identity if they are not devoted, if they are not surrendered? Yes? It's you have a clear concept of world, you have clear concept of yourself, you have clear concept of your duty only when you surrender to Lord, when you love Him, when you discuss about Him, Krishna Katha. Only then the understanding comes by His mercy. And people think, mercy, what is this? What is the substance? What is red, white, liquid, thick, solid? What is it? Where I can get it? There is no superstore for mercy. Where I can get it? So there is no. I don't know where to get it. So there is no mercy. So, understanding? Okay. To be smart, you need to study. I was speaking to devotees in several places. Now,
The trend is to be smart. Yeah. The phone is smart. The car is smart. Even in New Vrindavan, I saw on the toilet paper box, it said smart box. So everything should be, and everybody should be smart, tricky. Yeah? To be educated so that you could easily tell, prove that what I do is not a sinful activity. Yeah? This is the point, to be smart. I perform sinful activity, but I am smart to explain the way that it is not. Yes? So this is why education is meant and needed, so that you would be intelligently smart. You could work it out, you could figure it out, that actually this is not a sinful activity. But well, this is not a knowledge. Still, it's an ignorance. You can be smart, but still you can be ignorant. And this is all about. Until you don't surrender. You can be smart, you can be super smart, you can be over super smart, and whatever, whatever. But that doesn't help you, and that doesn't make you succumb. Happy. Extremely happy. Because only cultivating transcendental knowledge and devotion to the Lord, you pratyaksha, you experience pratyaksha, direct perception that you are soul. So for this Lithuanian group I was explaining, don't ask me to tell how it feels to be a soul. You have to practice. It's not that, you know, I show you a mango and tell, it is sweet, it is nice, it is beautiful, it is delicious, it is. But it's mine. I'll not give it to you. So you have to give it a taste. And that reminds me of a story when you opened the darshan of Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra. Date is that this year, just April month, 6 weeks ago, in Estonia, there is a small country right next to Helsinki. There is a bay and there is a country, small country, Baltic country, Estonia. Can you imagine the country which population is 1.5 million? And its population, they have their own language. And we have a temple there, and the capital town is Tallinn town. By the way, I think Skype is registered there. Or introduced from there, something I heard. It's a small country, but some intelligent people, smart people are there. So we had a festival, Nam Yagya, Kirtan Mela festival for weekend, and some Arajas were invited. I was there present. That all days through, all the weekend through, we are Kirtan, making Kirtan in the temple. Maybe 200 devotees present at the festival. And Bhaktivaibhava Maharaj was there, Bhaktivigyan Maharaj was there, Bhakti Ananta Krishna Maharaj was there. So many devotees from Sweden, someone came, Russia. And during that Kirtan Mela festival, we installed the Jagannath deities. Practically exactly same size, I would say. Same deities, devotees ordered them in Jagannath Puri, brought them to the temple and decided to install it. So we had a wonderful festival, we did an Abhishek, and that's it. And on Sunday, everyone, all devotees, Hare Krishna, went back to their respective abodes, countries, cities. Next day, the temple president is calling me, Ananda Chaitanya, you know what happened? I said, of course I know, we just installed the deities in your temple. So he said, no, something special happened. I said, what? He said, you know, this morning we got a call from India. And one Mataji from India called us and asked a Pujari. Pujari picked up the phone and asked, is this Estonian Tallinn temple? So Pujari said, yes, this is Estonian Tallinn temple. Do you have, she asked, Jagannath deities? He asked, yeah, this weekend we installed them in our temple. So she said, you know, those Jagannath deities came in dream to me. And she's calling from India. She She said, those ladies came in dream to me and they said they are very happy to live in your temple. And Pujari thought, my God, what's going on? And then she asks, and how you feed them? What do you offer to the deities? So Pujari was new and not experienced. He said, yes, we are just installed, we are trying, and we offer him some milk. So the Mataji says, you know, the Jagannath deities are complaining. They say, tell them that they are fasting, they are starving, they want to eat. Jagannath wants mangoes. So Pujari thought, Mataji calling from India. She thinks that in Estonia mango trees are all everywhere growing, and in April we still have snow in the street. There is no a single tree of mango in Estonia, in that region. But he thought something is going on here. He ran to the kitchen, he opened the fridge, 3 mangoes lying there. So you know, Jagannath asks some devoted Mataji, pious lady, to call somewhere, I don't know, 6,000 miles away in the north, letting the devotees know that he wants mango. And you have mango in the fridge and don't offer me. So it's not right. Yes, this is Jagannath, Lord of the universe. He can stay in the north country in the snow. He can stay in the south in America, wherever, Asia, Europe, Africa. He is Jagannath, he is Lord of the universe, and he will let you know what he wants if you don't understand yourself. So this is the way how Jagannath reciprocates to the devotees. And immediately temple president, when he found out this, he said, okay, let's increase the standards of worship. We have to offer food much more time during the day for the deities, let's get some jewelry. And as soon as he told, some devotee ladies came to the temple with the bags of bhoga already, with some jewelry for the deities. So Jagannath always, he organizes the devotees, he inspires them and organizes their service very nicely. So in the beginning of the class I asked you, how you would imagine your devotional service without the attributes of the devotional service? No temple, no deities, no books, no philosophy, no spiritual masters, no sadhus, no classes, no namahatas, no harinamas, no kirtan. And yes, no prasad. Yes, this was when 1979, I got my japa beads and the piece of paper with Maha Mantra on the street. Some young lady approached me and said, I don't know her, but she said, we heard that you are interested in yoga. Yes, I was practicing yoga myself at home, secretly. And she said, here is the perfect meditation. This is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are beads, and you have to chant them for 2 hours a day, 16 rounds. I said, oops. I try to meditate for 1 minute, I can't handle my mind, and you tell me for 2 hours? Ooh. I can't imagine I can do it now. So she said, you try. She gave me mantra, she gave me beads, and went, disappeared. And I thought, my God, actually it's dangerous, because those years, if you come to the church, you can be kicked out of your school, of your job place, you lose your job, and that's it. And you are stamped as a religious fanatic. You'll not find any job place. So anyway, like one of my friends, he was sued for being a vegetarian. Yes, it was written on the case that harming his health. So he's got disturbed mind, is not everything good with his mind. He can't care about himself. He's doing crazy things. He's vegetarian. He was almost sued for that. Imagine. It was facts. It was real. So I thought for myself, this piece of paper is a dangerous thing. If KGB will find, I don't know. But this lady said that it's very, very valuable. So just right away, I never heard of Krishna, Ram. I didn't know what is it. But she said it's very important. So I just learned it right away by heart, this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Put in my heart and thought, from there nobody would get it. Piece of paper I may lose, it can be confiscated or whatever. But if I learn by heart, that's it for life. So that gave me peace of mind. I have it. And then, day after day, I was chanting round 2, 4, 8, 12, 16, 8, 4, 1, Chanchala, yeah? Kanishta. So, but I felt that something is happening. It's favorable, it's beneficial. And the beads which they gave was such small, like a buckwheat grain, you would say, and as sharp and shape same. So buckwheat grains on the thread. So the thread knots were just almost the same size as the beads themselves. And when you chant, because those beads were not polished, they were cut, seemed like cut by a knife. So they had sharp edges. After a few rounds, your finger was, you know, sharp edges beads. So it was austerity. So Krishna already introduced into the world of austerity. So this way I was chanting for a few years, I'm 19, but still had no concept. There was no devotee association, no temples, no gurus, no books where to read what is all about. Where does it come from and what is it? Just chanting. Relying on the holy name, as I understand now. But then, it was just letters and words meaning nothing to me. But chanting, somehow it was attractive. And parents were asking what I am doing. They were suspicious. What's going on? It doesn't look normal. But they saw, yes, okay, boy, not drinking, not smoking, not doing any nonsense. That's okay. Okay, let him. At least he's well behaved. So in 1981, I bought Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in Russian, paying practically all my salary. Of course, those years salaries were just peanuts. I don't know. They considered that 1 ruble is almost $1, but it's not of the value. It was a fiction. So I don't know. It was a salary. So I bought a Bhagavad Gita, but you can't imagine what kind of book it was. It was not a book, it was printed sheets. Yeah, like this book. First of all, in the print house, they print sheets. Yeah, big sheet with pages on it. Yeah? So I bought a roll of those printed sheets, and this was Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, and I paid all my salary for this roll, which was called book, which was Bhagavad Gita in Russian. And the pages were like half size of this page. So the letters were teeny, teeny. But I was so keen, because I was chanting for some time, and I was so keen to figure out, understand, to read what I'm doing, that I brought home these sheets, and I was immediately start reading. Like the first page is here, the second page is here, the third page is here, the fourth here, the fifth here, the sixth here, the eighth is there, and like that. And I was reading the book, and it was fun. It was, you're just swallowing the knowledge. Later on, when I read it first time, later on I folded the pages, then stitched, then cut the edges, then put the cover. Then it got a shape of book. So this is how we were getting our knowledge. And then still no association. Whatever you like, just you're on your own japa, and only later on the knowledge. So when devotees ask when you joined ISKCON, I'm telling I joined ISKCON when there was no ISKCON there yet. So this was the reality. Some situations were quite absurd. And later on, in 1984-85, we started printing books, Srila Prabhupada's books in Russian, underground. Because still it was illegal. So when there were devotees in Armenia and Russia, we were put into prisons. Because in Armenia, in Caucasus, if you have idea and concept, it's near Turkey. There is also three republics, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan. Uttama Shloka Prabhu comes here, no? Yeah, he's from Azerbaijan, originally there. So Armenian devotees were printing there, but they were caught by militia and put into prisons and tortured badly. So then we took the pace in Baltics. Because in our place, it was not as tough, as bad. We could manage to bribe the print house manager so that during the night time, when the print house was supposed to be closed, he was printing Gitas. And per night, he could manage to print 1,000 Gitas. So man, actually sheets, yeah, not books. Print the sheets for 1,000 Gitas. For 1,000 Gitas. So it was a weight of approximately a ton, 1,000 kilos, if you have a concept. Like Bhagavad Gita is like 1 kilo. So 1,000 Gitas were packed into packages of those sheets, and it was like 1 ton of weight. And we were loading into the car, into local car production, Zhiguli Lada, which is like, yes, exactly. It was a small car like Toyota Corolla. You have a concept? Toyota Corolla. So it's a small, teeny car. So we were loading 1 ton of books into that car. Because no other cars, you couldn't have a van. There were no vans. You couldn't have trucks because they all were state-owned. You could have only just a regular Toyota Corolla-sized car. So we are loading it with a ton of books. We take the rear seats out, then the packages up to the roof. The car was so much from the road high. It was like practical on the road. But what we can do? And then we were driving 1,000 kilometers, like, I don't know, 700 miles to Moscow from Baltics. Every now and then, and supplying, this was first my book distribution, wholesale supply of the yatras. And even not the books, just the printed sheets, but devotees were so keen and eager to get that we were not able to meet the demand. The books were not distributed, they were just melting in the society. Just disappearing. You didn't need to distribute. Everyone was waiting. When will my copy come? And the copy come is a roll of sheets. So we were supplying Leningrad, Moscow, Kiev. Sometimes per month we were driving like 10,000 miles per month just to print, supply, print, supply, print, supply, print, supply. And it was ecstasy because we were young, I don't know what, 20 years old. It was badly risky. Guess what? It was fun for us. We didn't care. When you are young, you don't care. You eat, you sleep, you don't sleep, you don't eat. As long as you are busy engaged, it's ecstasy. So we were doing that with one of my first bhakta leader. He is now living in U.S., this devotee, Sanatana Dharma Prabhu in North Carolina. And we were doing this, two of us. So our Mangalarati was 4 in the morning, behind the fence of the print house, where we were catching the packages of Gita being thrown from that side, from inside of the print house, over the fence. Catching, loading the car, catching, loading the car. So this was our Mangalarati those years. And then immediately I drive 500, 800 miles, 600 miles. One day driving forth, give the books, next day back. Couple of days printing, again driving next town, bring the books back. And it was ecstasy, and we were never caught. Thank you, Krishna. We were never caught. We were stopped by police, road police, but always we were pretending as tourists, as exhausted, tired, traveling boys, you know, and they said, oh, okay, go. Because we covered those packages with blankets, with sheets, and when they asked, what's wrong with your car? So we said, oh, this is a lot of tents, sleeping bags, and cooking, whatever. Just creating a story. And they said, okay, poor boys, go. Never, you know. Because if we would have caught, ended up in prison. So only 1989 was the first time the 59 Russian devotee group was let to go to India. And we had to fight our way through by Mr. Gorbachev's mercy. He personally had to interfere so that we would be able to leave for India. And this was like a trip to the heavenly planetary system. Once one devotee in India told me, he was American devotee, he said, you know, Ananda Chaitanya, for an American, India is like a hell. I said, yes, exactly. But I tell you that for a Russian devotee, India is a heaven. So I don't know, is it like that still? But it seems like it's still similar. Because we left winter, we left cold in February, and we came to the summer. And we were served fruit salad, so we were just in ecstasy. We never saw fruits spoiled so badly, cut into pieces and with yogurt. So it was like delicious, like anything. Mandarins and oranges we were getting only once a year, just before the new year government was. Once a year, those fruits, oranges and mandarins, were in the market once a year, and you had to stay long queue in order to get for your New Year celebration table. Otherwise, we just had what grew locally, apples, peaches. So Kirti Raj was joking when we came to India, he was joking with us, Russian devotees, kartoshka markovka, which means only potatoes and cabbages, yes? So we were eating, we were vegetarians. Cabbages and potatoes, this was our feast. And when we came to India, my God, how this vegetable is called? Corella. What is it? Pumpkin sounds strange. Yeah. We were finding the material world exploring for new again. So such variety. We never had such variety. Cabbage, potato, that's it. So much fun. So Krishna consciousness is just a wonderful world. And now we tend to take everything for granted. Yeah? We have temples, we have books, plenty of books and this. I remember back in 1989 or 90, I printed first Bhagavad Gita's officially, legally. Already the Soviet Union was cracking. And in my town in Vilnius, in capital, there was a huge print house which Communist Party owned. So they were usually printing the propaganda literature there on a big scale. And once things politically, economically started cracking, those big print houses were just jobless. That's it. No salaries to workers to pay, because no orders, no propaganda printing anymore. But all the hardware, all the employees are there. So I just approached one publisher and said, we badly need Bhagavad Gitas, we need scriptures. He said, okay, one problem, if you solve, we'll do it. Supply us the paper. And the paper, you know, for printing the books. They didn't have their own. Anytime they were getting order, they were getting with paper. This is the paper, then you print and that's it. I said, okay. I called the devotees in Moscow, I think. They, because Lithuania doesn't have such a big paper producing factory. So devotees found out in Russia where they producing those this paper. They contacted the factory. The factory was also eager to sell it in the black market. Few wagons, cars, railway cars of this paper. And they sent it to Lithuania. So we printed 200,000 of Bhagavad Gitas. 200,000 of Bhagavad Gitas in one time. And guess what? You didn't need to distribute them. They just 200,000, they just disappeared. So that was ecstasy. This book distribution I like. Yeah, but still, life goes on. You have to chant your rounds every day. The regulative principles are not a single one less. They're still four. Still four. So sometimes when some devotee is not in a good shape, they ask me, how are you doing? I say, I'm telling them bad news. I'm still chanting. I'm still following principles. And I'm still in Krishna consciousness. And I'm still in ISKCON. And will remain for the rest of my life. Because somebody changing mantras, gurus, yatras, matas, whatever, you know. It's considered to be, you know, what's new today? Yes, 16 rounds of Mahamantra, it's new today. Four eggs, philosophy, it's all new every day. It's not boring. So this is what's new for today. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Thank you, Prabhus, Prabhis. Thank you so much for your association. And I beg pardon if my accent is too bad and hardly understandable. And I beg for the opportunity to serve your lotus feet so that I could remain always a servant of the Vaishnava devotees. When devotees call me from Europe, they ask, so how is America? How are devotees there? I said, sorry, I don't see any difference. Devotees are devotees all throughout the three worlds, same. American, Russian, European, I have devotees. They're ecstatic, they are chanting, they are dancing, they are nicely dancing. Some are dancing just nicely, some are dancing very ecstatically, but they're wonderful. So, thank you so much, and I am, please excuse me, but for a couple of days I'll be around, so if you don't like me, please tolerate for those couple of days, and I'll leave not long. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande.